late. Welcome back to the LifePoint Drivecast. This is Paul from Marion, and thankful that you've chosen time to just think about who Jesus is and spend a little time in his word, spend time praying. This week, we finished out the Taboo series, looking at the topic of slavery, which is, man, just a really difficult one, which we've probably said each and every week of this series. But overall, I'm grateful for this series. It really, I know personally, pushed me really hard. Some of the most difficult prep weeks maybe I've ever had, and that's not saying a lot. You know, I've only been at this a couple of years, but just really difficult, but good. And I think for me, really brings to light what the Apostle Paul says in 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. I don't know if you heard that in the background. So at the Marion facility, we're right on like one of the busiest streets in town. And things like that happen all the time on a Sunday morning. We get these super loud trucks. We get sirens. Just all part of the experience here at Marion. Anyway, Paul says to Timothy, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. And sometimes when you're reading the Bible, you read passages where God, you know, lays out rules on how to treat those who are categorized as slaves in ancient Israel. And it's like, okay, how is this profitable? Like, how is this good? If anything, this makes me question the goodness of God. And yet, as we look into it, and as we study it, and as we really dig into the details, what we see is that God is good. He is faithful. And as it relates to this particular topic, you know, I'm sure the other guys have talked through this, but the Bible really brings regulation and rules and humanity to this topic of slavery. What we see in Genesis 1 is God creating mankind in his image, in the image of God, in the image of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And in doing so, he gives dignity, value to every single human being, because every single human being is created in his image. And that is really just so important. So anyway, back to that 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17, that every single word of the Bible is God-breathed. And so in this series, it's been such a good reminder, and good for me, hopefully good for you as well. Now, as it relates to this topic of slavery in particular, again, I'm sure the other guys, Dean so far, and Kale so far, this week have given some just fantastic points about why the Bible does not encourage, condone, promote slavery in any way. And so carrying on in that theme, I wanted to go to the book of Philemon, which is just a one chapter book in the New Testament written by the Apostle Paul to a guy named Philemon about another guy named Onesimus. And so this is what the Apostle Paul says in verse 12. I am sending him, who is my very heart, back to you. I would have liked to keep him with me so that he could take your place in helping me while I am in chains for the gospel. But I did not want to do anything without your consent, so that any favor you do would not seem forced, but would be voluntary. Perhaps the reason he was separated for you for a little while was that you might have him back forever. No longer as a slave, but better than a slave, as a dear brother. He is very dear to me, but even dearer to you, both as a fellow man and as a brother in the Lord. So in this, I think we it's helpful to understand a couple of backgrounds. Again, Dean, Kale may have talked about these already. Slavery or bond servitude, servitude or bond servants, not race-based in ancient cultures. Typically, the reason someone would find themselves in a position of being a bond servant or a servant or in the condition of a slave is because they have sold themselves into this in a way to repay a debt. Or perhaps they have been a citizen of another nation that has been, you know, taken over by a different nation. And rather than just killing everybody, what the other nation does is subjects them to servitude. And having a hard time with that word today, is subject them to having to work and do things in various ways rather than die. And so in this, we don't know Onesimus's circumstance. We don't know why he has found himself being a slave or a servant to Philemon. But what we do know is that because of Jesus, The Apostle Paul is saying, hey, regard him no longer as a slave, regard him as a brother in Christ, whatever it is he owes you. It appears as though maybe Onesimus owed Philemon money, something like that, and he's paying this back by working. We don't know for sure. Don't regard him any longer as a slave, verse 16 says, but better than a slave, as a dear brother. And so in this, what we see is that the gospel gives and promotes just the valuing of a person far more than the value they bring as a laborer, as a worker in some kind. And so I think that's just a really good point for us to consider, to keep in mind. What is the attitude we have of those who maybe work for us? What is the attitude we have of those who are maybe in a different perceived social class or social standing than we are? What is the actual honest thought that we have to those who are maybe in our community who seem to be of a different lifestyle than you or than me? And I think what this text pushes us and does, and the scriptures do this consistently, when God is laying out rules for the Israelites in Exodus 21 about slaves, for example, he is inherently giving them dignity that they oftentimes would not have received in ancient cultures. When God is in the book of Job, for example, and Job is talking about, look, if I treated any of my bondservants wrongly, like if any of this was taking place, like it's this consistently, God is giving dignity and value to a degree that was never given in other cultures. But all that to say, are there people, are there categories or groups of people who we view as in any way lesser than, and how might applying the gospel give us a greater view of the dignity and the value of that person and ultimately the need they have for being restored to God? Consistently throughout the scriptures, I think one of the reasons God does not totally just wipe this out, this concept of slavery, one is that slavery was prolific in every ancient civilization, but it teaches us a spiritual point. The point I've made over and over again in the Marian context here is that every passage has a historical and a spiritual context. And so we need to understand that as we're reading these texts. And from a spiritual context standpoint, the slavery being a theme in the scriptures ultimately point us to the spiritual slavery that we are all in as it relates to sin, and how Jesus sets us free from that. And so when we can understand the physical principles of slavery and the devaluing of that and the death of that and the destruction of that and the pain of that and the evil of that, if we can understand how the amazing reality of being set free from that imprisonment, then we can apply that in a spiritual context and we can see how Jesus sets us free. Man, that just sort of changes everything, doesn't it? And so I guess all that to say, I want to challenge us a little bit. Are there people in your community who you need to apply a gospel-centric mindset to increase the value that they have in your mind as a way to motivate us to engage with that community, to share the gospel and to see maybe reconciliation to Christ? Because all of us have been in a state of slavery to sin, and we need to become really slaves of righteousness through the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, through a relationship with Jesus. And so to that end, sorry, I'm at 9 minutes here, way too long. I just want to encourage us in that and also spend a little time in prayer today. And so let's do that. Let's pray for a minute. And again, thanks so much for joining us on the Drivecast today. I do hope you'll join us again tomorrow. Father, would you help us have a mindset like the Apostle Paul in this dynamic between Philemon and Onesimus, that we would regard others who are maybe of a different social category, we think, or whatever it may be, but we would have a gospel-centric mindset that gives inherent value and dignity to all people, and desiring that there would be reconciliation and unity because of Jesus, that there is no longer a dividing wall of hostility. There's no longer Gentile and Jew, but just brothers and sisters in Christ. So Lord, would you do that in us? And would you bring us to repentance and confession if we have a different heart? And would you allow us to experience the grace that you give us, even in and through that? It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.